Big day. Big day. Dolphins training camp is underway. ACC media days are underway. Oh, you know what? I got to put on ACC Network. Carson Beck speaks to ACC Network at 3:45 this afternoon. I saw some of his press conference. He had a general press conference earlier today. But, add it all up. I don't know if you could see it right in front of your eyes. It's football season. You got Dolphins training camp. You got ACC media days. Football season. That's what it is. So if you're not ready for it, get ready for it because it is here. We're going to talk. We'll talk football, ACC media days in particular, with John Michaels. He is there for 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And so we'll talk with him later this afternoon. And Rhonda Gadsden will join us here in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get Dolphins training camp underway through the eyes of OG. And Crowder will be with us momentarily. Where is he, Solana? I know yesterday he was at New York for the premiere of Happy Gilmore 2. In fact, if you look at his Instagram account, Crowder, Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, they have a picture with Adam Sandler. They're all with Adam Sandler on the red carpet. And everybody was there. That was like the big premiere. Remember, Crowder was in Atlanta doing the show last week for a mini premiere, but last night was the big New York premiere. Sandler was there. And so where is Crowder today? Is he flying back home or is he still in New York?
I think he's still in New York today. He'll fly back home tonight, I believe, because he was interviewing somebody for The Pivot today, somebody with a New York tie. But this Adam Sandler, like, showing up to a movie premiere, I know that's his shtick.
It's what he does. He showed up at the Oscars wearing it. He showed up at the Oscars wearing it. Listen, the moment they snubbed him for Uncut Gems, he went full throttle Sandler. No, he was trying to become an actor, and he was. He did Uncut Gems, and he broke out of the mold, as many comic actors have done, right? There are comedians who then went on to make serious, thought-provoking movies. Sandler did it. Sandler deserved an Oscar nomination at the least, if not the actual award itself. Sandler deserved an Oscar nomination for Uncut Gems. Darren Revelle agrees with me, so you know it's true.
Okay.
And
wasn't the
when
first time he broke out
nominated,
of the mold.
When else did he do?
You Don't Mess with the Zohan?
So Uncut Gems was his first foray into actual acting. Dramatic acting. It was so good, he deserved an Oscar nom. Didn't get it. And so now he's full Sandler. Like, he's wearing the long shorts and the Hawaiian shirts. And he says, you know, listen, if you don't appreciate my acting, I'm not going to play by your rules. And I applaud it.
But the long tube socks with, like, Reeboks, what's the deal with that? That's what I'm struggling with. Like, fine, you want to do the cutesy Hawaiian, oversized Hawaiian t-shirt.
Vibe. That's his dad vibe.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of Adam Sandler just walking around New York City, goes to a random, like, bar at night, or he's just kind of living life, and he's dressed like that. That's fine. Yep. Like, I have no problem with that. Some people, before they leave the house, celebrities especially, they care so much about their appearance. I like Adam Sandler saying, hey, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. But you're going to a movie premiere, your movie premiere, and you're literally trying to dress like a bum. I can't get behind that, man. I'm sorry. And I love Sandler. I love
him. He wasn't
dude.
Trying to dress like a bum. But I am.
Dressed like a bum. Well, of course he's dressed like a bum.
Wholeheartedly with it. You can see what Sandler's wearing if you look at Crowder's Instagram. Someone texts in, what the hell was Ryan Clark wearing? Well, and Crowder has skinny ass legs.
He does. He does.
We'll wait for Crowder to join us before we broach these subjects. You know what happened on this day 3 years ago? I don't know if anyone's talked about it on the radio station. I wasn't listening. Do you know what happened on this day 3 years ago, Solana? It was one of the most, oh, here comes Crowder signing in right now. We were just talking about your picture with Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor and Adam Sandler.
Hey!
And, Solana was saying he doesn't like the fact that Sandler is wearing oversized basketball shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and doesn't look dressed up for his own premiere. But as I pointed out, once he got snubbed for Uncut Gems, he said, the hell with Hollywood. I'm doing it my way.
He's doing it your way, and he's a millionaire and very successful. Like, what is this dress code?
Yeah, does it his way. Where are you doing the show from? It sounds very echoey. I can't tell if your mic's not hooked up or if you're just in a very echoey room.
I'm in a very big room. We're in a suite.
I can tell. You have drapes, big drapes. Is marble staircase or something that all the sound is bouncing off of?
Marble floors and a big kitchen and tray lighting. This is not.
You're still up in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey now.
So anyway, we'll get to Sandler in a second. I was just asking Solana, do you know what happened today, 3 years ago? It was one of the most seismic moments in the history of South Florida sports.
Ooh, 3 years ago.
3 years ago today.
They trade for Jalen Ramsey?
You got the trade part right. Do you know, Solana?
The Dolphins traded for Greg Little.
3 years ago today, the Florida Panthers traded Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk.
Wow.
Great
One
idea.
One of the most seismic trades in the history of South Florida sports. I remember it was late at night. It was a Friday night. It was about 10, 11 p.m. when the news came out. And I was mother bleeping the Panthers. I think on Twitter, you could probably go back and see tweets. Like, I was very unhappy you would take your favorite player, Jonathan Huberdeau, and trade him for a guy, Matthew Tkachuk. Like, what are you doing? How are you going to make up for Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar, I think, was part of that trade, right? Was Mackenzie Weegar part of that trade?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. What a day. The Florida Panthers, like, they're like all the stuff we've enjoyed over the last 3 years and the last 2 years specifically started three years ago tonight.
If there's no Tkachuk, there's not two Stanley Cups.
Agreed. He changed the dynamic. First of all, his first season was the most incredible season he's ever had on the ice. But he changed the dynamic. He changed the psyche of the team. And that was the beginning of what we are still in, which is an incredible run. So God bless you, Bill Zito, for pulling the trigger on that trade. Where I don't think, we salute you, Bill Zito. I don't think if you had polled 10,000 Panthers fans that night, if you had polled 10,000 Panthers fans that night, how many would have signed off on that trade?
9,999. The other guy was asleep.
Right? I mean, you think out of 10,000, like,
no,
would five Panthers fans have said, yeah, that makes sense for the team?
It wasn't Ovechkin. It wasn't Sidney Crosby.
Right.
Like, I didn't know Tkachuk until I met Tkachuk, and now I know his brother's name. I know everything. But, yeah, no. We have to – in hockey, now I'm figuring out as you start winning, you really became a fan. Like, the depth of everything, and we're talking about the Seth Jones and all these people, third liners and all, you have to really know what you're doing in the office.
I'd never heard of Matthew Tkachuk before that trade. And to tell you the truth, I didn't really have a strong connection to Jonathan Huberdeau. Wasn't a massive Florida Panthers fan back then. But I did love being able to call him Hubie Doobie Doo. So I was distraught that day, man.
Yeah,
I really was.
For Goldie. I was hurt for Goldie that night, I remember.
Yeah.
I think Goldie was okay.
But it was like, what's he going to do, Chucky Chucky Chew? That sounds terrible.
But then he dropped a Tkachuk Kaching on us.
Right. But that's what makes him Goldie, because I came up with Tkachuk Chucky Chew, and that was terrible. Terrible. Goldie would have been fired by now.
Have Goldie drop a Tkachuk Chucky Chew next year. We got to get him to do it.
Sounds like a 1970s candy bar. Hey, let me get two Kachucky Chucky Chews and some Necco wafers and red licorice.
Is that trade on the same level as Shaquille O'Neal and the Miami Heat? I'm not saying Kachuk and Shaq are comparable in terms of like
notoriety
and Shaq was just like so grandiose, right? When he was in the prime of his career when he leaves LA. But I'm talking about how that Shaq trade put the Miami Heat on the map, and you talk about changing a psyche. The Heat were a good team with Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway and Pat Riley, and they had some great playoff runs. They got to an Eastern Conference final. Like, they were good. But you trade for Shaq, three-time champion, just 2 years removed from that, and they immediately became title contenders, and they were thought about as a title contender.
Ozzie Osbourne just died. Sorry to break in with that news, but he just did that farewell concert with Black Sabbath last week. Wow. That is wild. He did a farewell concert. He has Parkinson's. Did a farewell concert. He was seated. Black Sabbath, of course, legendary rock band.
Are you sure?
And then he died a few days later. Ozzy Osbourne, 76.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He enjoyed his life, though. That's one
he
thing I know.
Got all the life out of 76 years that he could get.
Yep.
Holy mackerel.
That's what I try to tell people. If, yeah, when I go, don't feel bad for me.
But your dad recently passed away. How old was your dad?
73? 72?
I mean,
almost 73?
He sucked up life from, you know, even parts where you go, oh, I bet he wishes he had that decision back. But that was part, like, he experienced everything.
Yes, and that's what I want to do, and I think that's what Ozzy did. I'm not wasting two, three weeks of nothing. I'm going to have me a good time once this thing is So when this thing is over, you know, it's over. But right now, I'm going to run.
You know, they always say, like, I'm sorry to go off on this tangent because we were having so much fun talking about the Panthers trade, but they always say, you know, no one is going to stand there at your funeral and talk about how many extra Fridays you worked and how many vacation days you passed up on because you were dedicated to your job. And I'm not telling you to mother bleep your job, but when it comes down to it, like, that's not what people are going to remember you for. Like, oh, I had 5 weeks of vacation coming. I only took three, which is my situation, by the way. That's why I'm talking about it. Cause I have to remind myself. I'm like, hey, you've been doing this a long time. Like, you have a lot of vacation days. You don't use them all. And by the way, with Dolphins and everything starting, like, you're not going to get a chance. But, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, dead at the age of 76.
Yep. At my dad's memorial, Solana was there. We had a guy that played with him at Penn State, Nat Moore at the Dolphins. And then my sister spoke and I spoke. All four people. His college buddy told a story about Randy throwing a party and telling people to take their shoes off. And there were too many shoes in the hallway because the party got crazy. Nat Moore's first story was about them partying in Miami. My first story was about us drinking and smoking joints in the backyard. And my sister said the same thing. Randy enjoyed his life.
Yeah. Well, Ozzy Osbourne absolutely did as well. That guy put 140 years into 76.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Rest in peace. All right, let me get back on track. We are going to talk about the Huberto Kachuk trade during today's show 3 years ago. Today, Dolphins training camp is underway, and Aronde Gadsden's going to join us. ACC Media Days are underway. And John Michaels will join us from Charlotte, where the ACC Media Days are taking place. Dolphins announced some new numbers. Jaylen Wright will wear number 5. Mm-hmm. Taj Washington, 7. How do you pronounce this guy's name, Solana? Ifeatu Melifonwu?
Melifonwu. Mm-mm. And it's Ifeatu Melifonwu.
Melifonwu.
Yeah, Ifeatu Melifonwu.
Ifeatu Melifonwu. He's going to wear number 9. Dante Trader is going to wear 25. Minka is going to wear 29. And Darren Waller is going to wear number 83.
Minka's going to make an impact, guaranteed. But Darren Waller is going to decide how good this offense is.
You came to the Dolphins. You've told the story. You were 55 at Florida. Junior was wearing it, so they just said, "Hey, do you want 52?" You only had back in those days. You could only have limited numbers at your position.
Yep, it was 50. Who was 56? Was Derek Pope? Zach Thomas, obviously. 54 was taken. Junior was 55. Donnie Spragan was 58. If I really think about it, I knew all the other numbers, and they called me in like it was a secret meeting. Joe Simino is the equipment guy, and Joe called me in his office like, "Hey, Channing, you know, you wore 55, but," and I cut him off. I was like, "Yeah, Junior has 55. That's taken. It's fine. Don't worry about it." He was like, "What number do you want?" I said, "I don't give a damn." And next day I walked in, 52 was sitting in my locker.
You had no ties to 52 at all?
No, no ties, no nothing. Only, I remember thinking 52 can't be that bad of a number because Ray Lewis wears it. But it it was retrospect where I saw it in my locker and was like, "Oh, 52, man, that's Ray Lewis. That's a cool number." And that's all I said. Just put
remind
it
me to ask Aronde when he joins us why he ended up at 86. You think there's a story behind it, or he just
probably as many chicken wings as he ate in one setting. I don't know, because OG was a undrafted free agent. I believe it might be my same story. Just give me a
right,
number.
But he came here from Dallas, though, right? He had already won the Super Bowl on Dallas's roster.
Was he 86 out there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I got to look it up.
We'll ask him. He's joining us soon enough. Remind me today, too. I have stories about the Ticket Wizard. He had never heard of or tried Rockin' Rib Rolls.
Really?
Yeah. And he met a friend of ours at Flanagan's today. I just found this odd. So he got the Rockin' Rib Rolls. And I'm like, "Oh," and, you know, he sent me a picture. And I'm like, "Fantastic." And then I said, what'd you have for lunch? And he said, "A slab of ribs."
Man.
Yeah. That's my reaction.
Did he come off of a fast? Goodness gracious. Ribs and ribs on ribs. I want ribs.
Anyway, I got to tell you some stories there. Our sister station, Kiss Country, is bringing back Stars and Strings, featuring Dierks Bentley, Dasha, Nate Smith, Zach Top, Hudson Westbrook, and more. It's at Hard Rock Live, and that's going to be November 6th. If you want to win, we have a different code word every day. Code word today is hard. Now, don't text this to the wrong number. Because certain people get just one text hard. Next thing you know, I got to take a couple segments off. I'm just saying, if I entered this contest mistaken.
Yeah.
Short segments. Text the word hard.
He got that long break at the end of the hour.
I don't need that. Text the word hard to 20357. That's 20357. Tickets are on sale now at starsandstrings.com. Stars and Strings supports Folds of Honor. For more info, you can go to WQAM.com. It is a text contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. But if you want to win the tickets for Stars and Strings, text the word hard to 20357. Quick look at the headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Any of you see Tyreek Hill's comments from training camp today?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he shared his mentality for the season. Quote, "I want to see what it looks like when I just focus on football, on myself, and family." And then he went on to say, "I feel like I haven't given the best version of Tyreek my whole entire career." And he said, "There's a chance to do something special. Feels like players have matured. He's matured. Even McDaniel, Coach Mike McDaniel, has matured."
You know what's funny there? That what jumps out at me, because I've gone through this, obviously, with different profession. But as you get older, you have these moments where you realize, yeah, you know what? This is going to require more effort on my part. That's an older player who had the most incredible talent for a while. And so he could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. because he had Patrick Mahomes zinging him the ball, and he was the most talented receiver out there. All of a sudden, you get a little bit older, and you go, you know what? I really need to focus on football. I need to cut out the distractions. Now, do I think he's going to cut out the distractions? I don't, just based on past record. But that sounds to me like someone who's getting older and recognizing they may be losing. And when I say losing a step, I don't mean he's a slow receiver now lumbering down the field. But that sounds like a moment where you go, this doesn't seem as easy as it once did.
It's crazy you bring up that. We interviewed CC Sabathia this morning. And he said that. He was like, man, 17 years old, I'm throwing 98. And he was like, all these old pitchers are trying to tell me, hey, work on the movement, work on the cutter, work on all this. He was like, no, I'm going to just go out and throw 98. That's what I'm going to do, and then we'll figure it out on the backside. And then if you remember, later in his career, it was a big deal because he started throwing more sidearm and working the pitch count and all that stuff. Same thing. To your point, Hawk, I don't want to be pessimistic. Tyreek is 10 years in the game. He's 31 years old.
He's got a track record. We know the track record.
Yeah, you're not going to, the police will never be called to your house again. I hope so, but you have a track record.
On his viral post-game interview last year where he said, I'm out and I got to do what's best for me. Everybody remembers, quote, in those moments, I need to be a better leader.
That's without question, but he needs to be a better leader. If you're a team leader and he's supposed to be, you can't do that.
But he's too emotional. Like, that's all emotion he's talking. It's not rationale. It's emotion. It's why there's more, you know, more people fighting college than Publix in Davie, right? Because grown people will look at a situation and be like, I'm good. You get college, you get all upset. Yeah. Oh, you disrespected me. Rah, and go slap somebody. Hopefully he has matured. You said the word mature. Like, I hope so, but it took me 20 years to figure out I don't have to slap somebody if they call me a bad word.
Yeah.
I don't trust a single thing Tyreek Hill says.
I don't either. I'm with you. I wish I did. He lost me that final game.
Yeah.
He lost me on that one. I thought that was such a Bush League way to end the season. But I get what you're saying. It's emotion. He knows the Chiefs are going on to another playoff run and probably a Super Bowl. He knows he's got to pack up his belongings once again, and he let emotion get the best of him. But I had given him the benefit of the doubt for a while, and now I just got to see it. Like, and I hope he has a breakout season, and I hope, like you say, it's just like football, and he's out there and he's catching passes, and we're talking about a 2,000-yard season again. That's what I want. But I'm with Solana. I got to see it at this point. I just can't follow blindly.
I'm with you.
It's easy.
Show me business.
I just think it's easy to uphold, you know, that sense of that line where he's like trolling and then he's serious. Like, he played that very well, and it was easy when things were going well in the first 3 years. Last year, the first true sense of adversity we saw from this team, I thought, you know, it showed his true colors, like who he really is. And, hope he proves me wrong, but I don't trust him.
Every year, like, it was some Dallas Cowboy lineman they interviewed and they were making fun of on ESPN yesterday. What's the Dallas Cowboys going to do? We're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, every team right now thinks you're going to win the Super Bowl. You're supposed to say the right thing. You've been with your parents. You've been at home with your kids. You've been back home hanging out with family. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to mature and be great this year. It sounds good, but now there's going to be, to your point, Solana, there's going to be adversity that comes up. And is he going to stand up in the middle of the locker room and hold everyone else accountable, including himself? I don't see it. I'm with y'all. I don't see it. I haven't seen it. I don't see it until I see it. You have to prove to me that you're that guy, not tell me you're that guy on a random Tuesday in July.
And by the way, those words, like, people hold you to that. Ask Chris Greer about his offensive line, his seemingly innocuous offensive line comments last season. Ask LeBron in the moment of celebration about not two, not three, not four, not five. Like, people will hold you to those words.
Who said that? You said that, huh? Mm-hmm. Yep.
The only other, like, Darren Waller was introduced today. Alec Ingold spoke. I can't imagine there's a lot of fullbacks talking across training camps in the NFL. No slight to him, but, like, come on.
They asked him, like, what do you think about the diminished expectations for this team? And he said, I don't give a bleep, but he said the actual word.
Yeah. Minkah Fitzpatrick was supposed to have his first media availability today since the trade. It got pushed back to a later date.
Let me warn y'all something about Minkah. He's not a charismatic, talking, laughing type human. He's a very serious human being.
As long as he can play defense.
That's all I want. Go get me 9 interceptions. I love you to death.
Yeah.
Los Madelines lost their series opener to the Padres 2-1 last night. Game 2 tonight, Edward Cabrera makes his way back to the bump after dealing with some injuries. MLS All-Star Game is tomorrow in Austin. MLS versus the Liga MX All-Stars. Messi and Jordi Alba will represent Inter Miami. The question is, will they play? And Mario Cristobal did speak earlier today. He was on with Joe Rose. He was at ACC Media Days. Carson Beck is about to join ESPN SportsCenter in a little bit as well. And a couple training camp notes. We'll get to all of it later on in the show. Your weather, it's 90 degrees, feels like 100. Just stay inside, man. It sucks. That's your weather.
Don't go outside if you don't have to. How's the weather up there in Jersey and New York?
Beautiful. 72.
Really?
72.
Stop it.
Overcast.
You're lying.
It's nice.
You're lying. Really?
Yeah.
Thought it was hot as hell. Uh-oh. All right. Rondé Gadsden is going to join us in the next
I don't know how to open the blinds.
I hope you can't open the window. A terrible feature on a high rise in Jersey.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have this fantasy, I've had this for years, of becoming obese and bedridden and just watching TV all day and having people bring me food. Former Dolphins receiver Rondé Gadsden is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Dolphins training camp is open. There's a preseason game. The Hall of Fame game is next week, featuring OG's son, his team, the Chargers. So football is upon us. I got to ask you this question, though, because we were talking about it earlier, because the Dolphins announced some number changes today. Did you always wear 86? How did you end up wearing 86 for the Dolphins? Did they assign it to you or did you pick it?
That's the only number they had left. Okay, who picks number 86? Who picks that?
Well, what did you wear?
I had number 3 when I started at the Dolphins. When I played all the 4 preseason games, I had number 3. But then I don't know, it was the only
receiver
number
didn't
they had.
Wear number 3 back then, though, did they?
Well, yeah, again, like it's back then, like back when, like back in the 50s. Like, come on, back then.
I had number 3.
I'm trying to tell you, man. I got a card that's number 3. Going back down to number 3. Come on.
They
didn't give me high hopes coming from the Arena League. It was like, I would make.
They ain't playing on OG playing. That's what the problem
that's
was.
This guy, what round did we pick him in? You didn't.
Give him three. Yeah, what was the number we got?
What did you wear in Dallas?
1. Raphael Septien.
Really?
Yeah.
You wore 1?
Because I was fast. I was the fastest receiver they had at the time.
Ain't no way, OG.
Yeah, he was fast, man.
Once again, it was the only number they had left. Nobody wanted 1. 1 wasn't a big thing then. 1 wasn't a big thing in the 90s. Like, ooh, we want 1. Nah. You know, I mean, Dion didn't have a single-digit number. He had 21. Like, I mean, that wasn't a big thing. I think when Keyshawn got 19, I think it's kind of, you know, cracked it. Like, okay, let's start. That wasn't a deal. They were giving the numbers, you know, those are player numbers that they, like Chad said, they didn't think we could make the team, you know what I mean? So,
right.
That was the deal. So, you know, you got to make something bold. It's not the number.
I think we need to reconnect with OG. OG, we need to reconnect with you. Jimmy's going to hang up and call you back because there's a little bit of
Listen, I tell you what OG's about to say is what winners say. The player makes the number. The number doesn't make the player.
But was I wrong? Number three was not worn by receivers in the 90s, was it?
We laugh,
Victor Bermudez is texting. Vic Bermudez texting me that Randall Hill used to wear three for the Hurricanes as a receiver.
When guys came in that were position players, and I'm a little younger than OG. I think OG's 50. I'm 41. Like, OG got me by a couple years. When you see a guy walk in with number six on, he's not making the team.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Bro, you're going to run down on about three kickoffs in this first preseason game and you're getting cut. Now it's cool. It wasn't cool back then to wear a single digit.
Yeah, see, now you can wear anything. Anything goes now.
Yeah, no. I would say some names, but y'all wouldn't recognize any of them because they all got cut.
The only six I can remember for the Dolphins was Jay Cutler, right? Did he wear six for the Dolphins? No, he wore six for the Bears. Did he wear six for the Dolphins?
Didn't Jay Cutler wear
six? Yeah, I think
he
did. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
All right, Rhonda Gadsden is back with us. We had a bad phone connection
there. So, hello, can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
So listen to this. Hey, are you going to the Hall of Fame game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We wear OG the second's jersey?
I doubt it.
No, just be low key.
Yeah. Just wear some, powder blue. I don't think I look good in powder blue. But anyway,
you got to buy a whole new wardrobe. There's no way you own any powder blue.
I'll
wear some Syracuse stuff. So.
Big ass peep.
Hey, OG, have you warned little OG that he's about to play about 145 snaps on every special team and every snap of the game in the Hall of Fame?
You know what? So listen. So when we were going, I was going to drop him off at the airport. Like, he was about to go, to training camp, and I'm, talking to him like, yo. This is going to be different. It's a new chapter. That's Syracuse. It's going to be 53 alpha males. They trying to feed their family. They don't want to be your friend. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you got to be ready. And I'm like, yo, don't think you just going to play this tight end thing and catch the ball. Like, you going to run down on kickoff. And then he said, did you do it? I'm like, absolutely not. But I said, you're going to have to get ready to run down on kickoff, and you got to keep your head on the swivel. He said, but Dad, it's only 10 yards. I'm like, it is only 10 yards.
Oh, that's right. It used to be you work up a full head of steam, and you're like two rams battling on a mountaintop.
Right.
Yeah, it's like nothing. So,
yeah. I'm like, all right, well, get in there. You got a point. So at that point, I realized I really can't help him in much. Like, I played 16 games. He got to play 18. Like, we thought last year when he played 13 games at Syracuse, I'm like, oh, when is this over? Like, 18? Like, oh, daddy. So I don't know. I just, hey, look. Hey, do your best. Give it your old try. Keep your chin up, sport. I'll see you in Canton. That's all I had for him at that time. When he told me, kickoff's different, Dad. I'm like, different? I forgot about the
– Listen, it was just 5 minutes ago you were castigating me for saying, how long ago do you think it was that I played? And now we found out different number of games. You had different kickoff formations.
You only played
two halves.
I know.
Hey, let me ask you. We're going to run a full out back. Of time. Let me ask you about the Dolphins here, since the Dolphins open camp today. We had Ben Volen on from the Boston Globe yesterday, and I asked him to seed the AFC East going into the season. And I'm curious how you would. He had the Bills number one, the Patriots second, the Jets third, and the Dolphins fourth. And I'm curious how you, and I know we're ways away, but how would you seed the AFC East right now?
It's going to be tough. The Patriots and the Dolphins are going to be, in a heated battle for 2-3, I think. But I do think I see the Patriots overtaking that second spot, in the next 2-3 years. I think we'll split, but I think we'll – be second just because we've been in it longer. I think the Patriots got a better coach. I think Tua has a better command of the division more than May, and I think that will help us take them. But, you know, you ask me the same question next year, it may be a different situation because we know how the Patriots are going to play. They're going to take the, you know, personality of their coach, and we know what kind of coach they got. No different than our coach. So I think
it's a little bit more cantankerous than ours.
A little bit. Like, I agree with you. Come on with the hoodies and the joggers. Let's try something different, you know. Yeah, because I felt that way because, you know, at the time I was coaching at Heritage and you know, Al Golden was trying to get some players. I'm like, yo, that tie not going to work on the sideline in college football, bro. Like, you're going to have to switch it up. So right. I'm at that point with you. I agree. Like, he has to switch something up. He has to do something. You know, maybe coach from the scissor lift or, you know, stop walking around dapping everybody
like the,
up.
Like the booger,
you know,
mobile?
Yeah, he should have his own booger mobile on the sideline. You got to do something different. You know, you just have to. Like, we've done it. You know, it's you know, the rope is short. The leash is short at this point. And if we feel it, he has to feel it, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody in your camp has to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, somebody, like, one of your boys got to tell you, like, yo, you know, you ain't packing them in like you used to. That's what Prince's dad told him in Purple Rain. You know, you ain't packing them in like you used to, man. You know what I'm saying? So you're gonna have to. You're gonna have to figure something else out. I would expect, if I was a coach, you know, Channing and I, he'd see me out somewhere and say, "Hey, let me talk to you for a second, yo, man. Like, that thing you've been doing, like, not working, man. You gotta do something different." You know what I'm saying? So one of his boys got to tell him, yo, you got to try something different this year, you know what I mean? Yell at somebody, curse somebody out, slam a pad, break something, throw your watch off, take your watch off and slam it on the ground or something on the sideline. I don't know, but he has to do something different.
OG, it's funny because we talked to Ben about that yesterday where the clothes stuff, and that's Hawk's thing. Man, if he puts on, you know, some Charclettas, he might be able to win. But
look like Tom Landry out there. Wear a Tom Landry hat, a suit, and a tie, and channel him.
What he needs to wear?
I think he was going to say Chancleta, which I did not suggest, by the way, OG.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. Carry on.
That doesn't house go.
you got a ring. You play with Jimmy and all them. Bro, that night, and you coach. Honestly, it's all. Bro, that nice coaching crap that we're friends, I really do not believe it works. Every good coach I had the Saban, the Belichick, the nasty in them. We do your job, and I'm going to do my damn job. Do you believe in them nice, pleasant, quote-unquote, player coach guys?
I think we're a little older, and we come from that school, you know. We come from that era where we didn't have, you know, the only person that we could really say that won was Tony Dungy. That was the only nice guy that really won, you know what I mean? So we really don't have that, and that really wasn't, you know, how we were coached growing up, you know what I mean? Like, it's changed because, you know, society has changed. You know, Jimmy used to say the thing that, you know, will always ring present in my mind. Like, instead of walking down giving dap, Jimmy walk up and down the aisle telling everybody, the only thing constant has changed, some of you won't be here tomorrow. You'd be like, oh man, I hope it's not me. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he'd say. And that'd be a little different feeling than, you know, dapping up. What'd you do last night? How's everybody in your family? Nah, the only thing constant and change, some of you guys won't be here tomorrow. You get a different feeling, you know, when you're warming up. Like, don't look them in the eye. Like, you turn a stone. Like, I just don't think that's the era now. I think you gotta go with what works. I mean, even like you said, even, you know, because we get kids at Heritage, you know, wherever you coaching, and you ask the mom, "What's your son play?" "Oh, he play everything." "Come on, lady, he don't play everything. Nah, he don't play everything." You know what I'm saying? "No, he good. He used to play receiver, then he played quarterback, he played safety." "Come on, please, ma'am, work with me. What's your son want to play?" Like, that's what we trying to, you know what I mean? Like,
he's a nose guard. I'm looking at him. He's a nose guard.
Right. Deep belly button. His belly button is 6 inches deep.
Right. Maybe at Naples Pal, he played everything, but not down here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think that's just the way it is.
Mike McDaniel could not be the guy who all of a sudden channels Jimmy Johnson in year four and starts walking down the bench.
Yeah, going, no, some of you guys I don't, might not I don't, even be I don't here think
like,
that.
Like, he can't do it, right?
I don't think that will happen, but something, you know, has to change. He has to institute something like, you know, like the end when everybody was like, oh, players coming late, like, you know, like that would never happen. You know what I mean? Things like that would never happen. So he has to put something in place. Like, get a bad guy. Everybody knows Stu was the guy. Like, get a bad guy. Get a fall guy. Play good cop, bad cop. You know I would never do this, but they're making me cut you. They're making me send you home. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get somebody. You got to do something different. Like, you may not be that guy. You may not have it in you, and that's okay. But you have to have that instituted in the locker room, because this you know, this type of things that happen because you don't have anybody. Like, you know, it goes back to the same point, you know, all these things add up, you know what I mean? Like, Coach Westhoff used to say something that, you know, all these things ring in your mind when as a player, because, you know, you think about it, don't catch up to you until it catch up to you. You know, he's like, you cheated on that, you cut the corner on that, you lap, you didn't go all the way around. And then, you know, like in the game, when you get busted, then he like, probably because you didn't take the whole lap, probably because you cut the corner. You know what I mean? Like, so it has to change somewhere in his preparation and something. He has to do something different because, you know, the guys, you know, not listening, not getting it done. And I think that goes back once again to me. It goes back to you not keeping those players. You're not keeping the Wilkins. You're not keeping the Hollins. You're not keeping the Van Ginkles. You're not keeping the players you drafted. You got to go through this whole thing of getting somebody else and trying to groom them into your system again. Like, that hurts. Like, you know, I just don't count, you know, Tyreek Hill and the Ramseys. Like, you know, because they mercenaries. They you know, they playing, you know, to better them, you know, in essence. You know what I mean? Obviously, they team players, because we play a team game, but they didn't grow up here. You know, they're not really into it. Like the guy, like a Tua and a Waddle, they're into it. They got drafted here. Right. They kept them, like, they're here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we let those guys go who he would have had some 4-year guys who would have been like, yo, what coach saying, right. What coach saying works, but he, you know, who's that guy? Who are those guys that's going to go to battle, you know, for you? Really, like, really buckled down, you know, like again, you hate to use him, but, you know, he's going to be the poster child. Yeah, you know, he's standing Eichenberg out there. He the first one off the bus. You know, the other team's like, him? You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's who he's standing out for.
We're up against a break, OG. You know, famous Dolphins number 3. Aronde Gates.
It's a nice card. I'm going to show you the card at number 3. I got a nice number 3 card.
Send me that. Send me that card. I want to see. So what was that? Your rookie card was a number 3?
I think that was my preseason card. Number 3.
Yeah, preseason card?
Oh, yeah. Girl. Yeah, cuz I was pretty big in preseason, man. I was pretty big.
I want to get a number 3 Gadsden Dolphins jersey.
The number 86 Morgan Wallen's drummer had on a number 86 at the concert for 2 days. Let's go.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Very much is so. Very much is so.
I saw JT walked him out, and then I didn't realize the drummer. And I know Morgan Wallen wore a number 1 Cam Ward jersey, a Hurricanes jersey. The drummer wore an 86 Dolphins jersey?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know one song Morgan Wallen sings.
That's all right. They know you.
There you go. All right, man.
Later. Marlon.
All right. Well, what'd you say, Crowder?
Marlon is his name?
Yeah, Marlon. Marlon. Mm. It was a great concert from Marlon. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
This is Hock, Crowder, and Solana.
What about FD Florida and FD Sun?
How about FU?